I call this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby? Councilmember Oglesby?
You're mute, Melissa.
You're muted, Oglesby.
I'm here.
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson? Councilmember Nelson?
We can't hear you, Pat.
Here?
Okay.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, okay. He looks like he's frozen.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
Okay, Mayor. Everybody's present.
Okay, I would accept a acceptance of the agenda.
I make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the consent agenda. Will somebody make a motion for the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we did have a public comment that we would will add to the minutes. We have a department report from Ms. Miller.
Oh.
Hey, May, could you turn your sound up a little bit?
Okay. I don't know if That's I know good. How.
That's there you good. Go.
Can you see my report?
No.
Yet.
All right, well, help. Can you see it now?
Well, I think you have to click on it. We can see where it is.
Oh, no, I tried to do that. Oh dear, let's see. Share screen. It's stopped. Screen sharing is stopped as the shared window is closed. How do I open a closed window?
Brenda?
Oh, here it is.
Oh.
There. Now maybe.
Hey, good job.
All right, I found it. Okay. So tonight I wanted to go over the first quarter financial report with the council. I've already gone over it with the finance committee, so some of you will hear it twice. So what I'm going to primarily go over is the yellow insert, which is the first quarter, January, February, March. And then if you go to the far right, you'll see the percentage. So this report would be through 25% of the year. So perfect revenue collection would be, oh, we've collected 25%. But if you see the first line, line two, property tax, we've only collected 1.2%, only 23,000 out of 1,000,008. Well, that's because people don't pay their property tax until it's not due till April 15th. And the only money we really get early is if somebody bought or sold a house and they had to pay an adjustment amount. So this is normal for this time of year. We'll get the money normally we get it by the end of April, first part of May, but this year it was extended to June 1st. And we got most of the money in May, but I did notice today we got another 67,000. So evidently there was even some lag with the June reporting. So I would think we'll be at 50% pretty close by the end of May. So sales tax, we're ahead of budget. We're 10% over budget. You can see we've collected $267,000. And of the budget, we only have $492,000 left, two more quarters, and we'd be at full budget. We know that sales tax will probably drop in the next 3 months with a two-month lag and with a lot of with the building permits closed down for a month anyway. And also restaurants and other items closed down. We'll probably see a little bit of a dip, but we were already ahead of schedule. And I've seen the reports that came in even for April, and it was still ahead of schedule. So I anticipate that'll continue. We should be fine in sales tax. Utility tax is a little bit above budget. That's good. Cable franchise, a little bit below budget. You'll see it's 24.8%. people, I think, are trying to find ways to get off cable, and we'll probably see that continuing to go down a little bit. Business license was a little bit ahead, and that's good because now we've switched to the state, and they collected, we used to collect it all by April. We switched last year, and we should be more in trend right now. And it looks like so far businesses are paying their license. It may dip for a little the next quarter. The next item is the permitting center. And you can see we budgeted $1,200,000. We'd already collected $559,000 through March. So we were already at 46.5%. Significantly ahead. One more good strong quarter and we would have met the budget. Again, it will dip a little bit as we get, at least I know April was pretty slow and even May wasn't completely back to normal, but still strong growth in that area. And now I can see June, the building permits are really coming in strong. Liquor tax and profits, that was a little bit below budget. And I expect we'll be at budget by end of year. Sales tax assistance, that's some money the state gives us if our sales tax dips. And if we continue to collect a strong amount, we'll hardly collect any money in this category throughout the rest of the year. The next line, line 9, is our grants. It's our King County fire levy, and we don't collect that usually till June. Recycle, we don't collect until after our event, and some other grants. So we haven't collected any in that category, but that's normal for this time of year. Parks revenue was a little bit slower first quarter. Usually increases in the summer, but we definitely know with the gym closed right now that we'll see a dip in that revenue. The cemetery, that one's hard to predict. We did have one fee, and so we'll just have to wait and see on that one. The police department, that's primarily their traffic school and some grants. We were close to budget there. They were a little slow in traffic school. They continue to have to do high priorities, and it isn't always issuing traffic tickets. Court fines, those are definitely below budget, and I expect them to really come in less and less as we can only credit this revenue when we really received a payment. It's not like we find them and we record that. We only record when somebody gives us the hard cash or pays with credit cards. So I think with more and more people unable to pay, we'll see more loss in this category. A miscellaneous revenue was primarily interest income, and it was on budget for the first quarter, but we've seen our interest rates drop pretty significantly, so we know that will come in below budget by the end of the year. The funding agreement was close to budget, that just whatever our expenses are, it pays 100% of those, so it just goes in line with the expenditures. Line 20 was some accounting changes issued by the state where we used to collect fees for our insurance. It's only due in January for our liability and building. We collect money every month from all the various departments and hold it until next January. So that's how much we've collected for the first quarter. The development reimbursement are just their one-time only consultants, and that, again, pays 100% of expenditures, but lags a little bit. So our total revenue, if you look at line 24, with our beginning fund balance on line 23 at $3.5 million, adding to our revenue we've collected, we have enough revenue to cover 50% of our revenue budget, so that's very strong. On the expenditure side, council doesn't get paid till only in June. And so it's very low right now, not many expenditures. The mayor's budget stays pretty true. Some of her training doesn't come till later when she goes to conferences. Administrative service is clerk, technology, human resource, finance, and some central service expenditures. And we were lagging a little bit behind budget as we had some bills that lag a little bit on the expenditure side. So we pay wages right on budget, but bills are usually a 1 month lag. Legal services, that also has a 1 month lag on the billing, so it runs us later in the year before we really catch up to a good percentage. The lawsuits, we hadn't spent as much this year, so hopefully that will stay true to form, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. The court, they were under budget because they have a staff position that's vacant, and again, their vouchers run a 1 month lag. The police department, again, theirs is primarily the 1 month lag on their voucher expenditures. Fire department, we make that payment in May and then again in November, October. So we pay twice a year. So that won't show up until we do the May report. And then again, our recycle and mandated air quality, mental health, animal control. Those, we haven't got the bills for those yet, so they're running behind. Line 37 is the virus expenditure. And again, because of the lag, this is really just a couple of lines of expenditures that had been paid through February. So it'll show up higher in the next quarter. I think we had about $30,000 in total expenditures. That includes legal. The MDRT, this is their expenditure for staffing and the building costs. It's 100% reimbursed. Community development, they're running a little lag also because their consultants bill a month late. And also they had a couple of positions that weren't filled as of March. Facilities is Kevin's budget and emergency management. That again is primarily voucher expenditures with the 1 month lag. That's normal for this time of year. Parks department, they have more that are staff expenditures and not as many vouchers in that department, so it's a higher percentage. And the cemetery is an allocation of staff and supplies, and they have a higher expenditures in the summer months because we charge the part-timer that mow and do all the maintenance out at the cemeteries in the summer months. So that will pick up in the summer. So overall, our expenditures were only at about 18%, 17.9. So there's some savings there, but some of it is just due to a timing issue. The last two lines, line 44, where it says permitting, that was a mistyped title. I couldn't get fixed in time tonight. It's really the Association of Washington expenditures we paid in January. We used to pay those out of a custodial account, and the state accounting change said, no, they have to be paid in the general fund. So we've made that expenditure. We won't have any more expenditures this year until January of next year. And then the development consultants, that's how much they have reversed us so far. Again, probably a lag on that. So line 47 is our cash and investment balance, and that's at 17%. And you'll see in yellow, that's $1,110,819. That's what we said we really need to keep in the fund balance. The next line is some developer cash where they advance us 1 month of wages. And then the line 49 is excess funds that we have in addition of cash balance that we can use for this year or even next year to help pay expenditures we didn't know about. So we're in good, strong financial position in the general fund. The street fund, on the other hand, isn't in such good shape. You'll look at their March, their revenue, $22,404, is a little bit over budget. That's really great, but I've looked at the next 2 months of reports, and the gas tax revenue has dropped in half. And I expect it to continue. There's people not on the road. Gas prices are down. I expect it to be, I put a December estimate on street fund because it's serious that we really need to look at street. I expect us only to receive $39,250 by year end. So I expect it to really fall off. Right-of-way permits, I expect we'll collect budget. We're ahead right now, but there's some lag in there, and that one is hard to know because not everybody gets a right-of-way permit, only certain building permits. And then the other revenue is their interest and also their permits, street cut permits and others. And because of the building activity, I think that will be on budget. But if you look at line five, you'll see I show we're only going to get $85,000 through the end of the year. And you can see our budget was $133,000. So we're going to be short in revenue. We already were short. We had to subsidize this fund. Line seven, we said we were going to transfer in the budget $70,000 from REIT 2 and $100,000 from car tab fees. Well, you can see we've only collected $124,000 right now. I'm saying we're going to have to increase by December the REIT transfer to $100,000, and we're going to have to transfer from the general fund $150,000 just to be able to pay their salaries and benefits. This is a serious issue. That transportation car tab fee is on appeal, but I right now don't think it's going to come through. They're still giving us money. We're not transferring it. We expect it'll have to be returned. And the state hasn't come up with any solution on how to fund streets. So it's a real serious problem for not only Black Diamond, but other cities as well. So our line 12, our beginning fund balance was less than what we budgeted instead of being way over like in the general fund. So we were starting out with less cash. And so we really need, we'll have to have a budget change to make both the extra REIT transfer in and the general fund transfer in to as a one-time solution to be able to pay the street expenditures. You can see on line 19 that their budget for expenditures, salaries and benefits, $194,000, $5,168 for supplies, and then their professional services, which are street lights that we have to pay Puget Sound Energy and all the contracting that we have to do on our streets, our utility bills, everything. So our total expenditures are $322,000. And if you look up at where I say we're going to be in real revenue, we're only getting $85,000 in revenue. So the street fund is really in serious trouble. not only this year, it has been every year, but every year it's gotten worse. So it's a serious problem. We need to work with the legislatures to try to figure out how streets can be funded. Down the 3 month operating cash balance on line 22 should be 80,000, and right now we're short 34,000 to meet that goal. So it's a good thing we have a little bit of cash in that fund beginning balance, or we wouldn't even have the funds in there to pay the staff. If council's in agreement with this solution, we're going to have to go ahead and assume these two budget changes and be able to transfer money in to be able to pay the salaries and benefits and other charges in the street fund this year. So does anybody have any questions about that?
Erin?
Yes, May on line 44, uh-huh. The first chart, what should it say? That line 44.
Oh, it should say AWC insurance expenditures.
Okay.
And I'll correct it before we post this to the website and before I email out final copies. Okay. Some cities would say, well, we could go ahead and add a B&O tax. Well, and we could put that in the street fund. Some other cities might say, well, we could increase the utility tax, or we could charge Covington Water Districts. But I think in the situation of the pandemic, that assessing new revenue to businesses or citizens is not a good idea right now. So we need to try to make do with the funds we have available, would be my recommendation.
Hey, May. Uh-huh. When timeline-wise, do you think we should bring up the budget amendments for that 100K and 150K timing-wise?
The mayor likes to have only one budget change a year in December.
Do we need it before then?
We could assume that budget change is going to be approved by you in December, or if the mayor wanted to, we could go ahead and approve that now. So I'll leave that. I see the mayor's left the meeting, but normally we just show that and go through it with all you guys. And if we don't have any objections, we'll continue on this path. And I'll show that on all the future expenditures that this is a recommended budget change. And I'll talk to the mayor and see if she wants to change her policy on that.
Is that something we can discuss at the next
finance committee meeting? Sure. Next finance. We're going to meet at finance committee on Tuesday.
Okay. The reason that we only do budget amendments.
Turn your sound off.
The reason we only do budget amendments once a year is so that we can track them at the end of the year. If you do them more than once a year, then you have to accumulate those budget changes, and it's very confusing.
Thanks, Mayor. That's understandable.
May?
Yes.
Did you say that we have a finance committee meeting on Tuesday?
Yes, and I apologize. I haven't sent out an invitation, and you weren't at the last meeting. I requested that we move it to Tuesday, and I do need to change the time to probably 2:30 today at management. We talked about that meeting, and the Public Works had already had their meeting scheduled for 3:30, and some of the people are on both committees, so it was requested that we try to change ours to 2:30 if possible on Tuesday. So
is that a one-time change? Or?
Yes, a one-time only change. I'm going to be in Montana on Thursday.
Okay. So that's a one-time change.
Right.
Okay.
And
Brenda's going to send an invite out then?
I'll send the invite out tomorrow. I'll make a note right now.
Okay.
Apologize for that. Okay, the water fund, on the other hand, is like the general fund, doing very well. Their water charges on line two, we're at 24%. And usually people use less water in the winter. In the summer, they water more. So the curve is normally lower in the first quarterly report. The name changes, or the hydrant and irrigation water, again, is almost all in summer. So that runs very low the first part of the year. And then the meter and irrigation charges to buy the meter, and the permits have to pay to install those meters. We were already at 75%, and that again is a result of a lot of homes being started and ready to have their water meters installed. And I saw more purchases go through today for more water meters. So this is going to go way over budget. We have to buy the meters on the other side. So that side also will go over budget, the expenditure side. The permitting type revenue is various water type permits they have to get. And it was at 39, almost 40%. Again, the strong building permit activity the first quarter. Their interest was a little bit lower, and it will be low all year because of the rates. And then we have some deposits that just pay for consultant fees, and then the deposits could be returned, so we put it in a separate category. And then Palmer Coking Coal contributes $95,000 every year towards our debt payment. This is an agreement that was entered into in 2004, I believe, and it goes until 2024 when the debt is paid off. So our revenue, I guess the good news is line 12. We budgeted to start the year with $479,000, and we actually started the year with $630,000. So we were $151,000 ahead, and that again was the strong permitting and all the new homes and all the water. I had expected new homes, and I budgeted that category, but I hadn't expected all the irrigation water. So part of it is that I had under budgeted that we were going to get all that irrigation water revenue. So that's been strong for the water department. On the expenditure side, you'll see the same kind of lag. Their salaries and benefits are a little bit below right now because they didn't have their part-timer that's only charged in the summertime. And they'll spend part of their budget in all of water, sewer, and storm utilities. Their supplies were a little low because of the late voucher lag, and the service and charges the same. So they were at 21.6 on expenditures. So their total expenditures were definitely below budget. Line 19, their three-month cash reserve should be $217,756. But right now, we're $500,000 ahead of that. Part of that is that we hadn't made our debt payment yet. And you'll see the budget on line 16 is, our debt payment is $314,000. We pay that whole amount in May. So that will take up part of that cash, but we still have a strong position in the water fund because Palmer also paid his $95,000, and that will come in to help offset that part of that debt payment. The debt, we have two outstanding debt public work trust fund loans. One will be paid off in 2022 and the other one in 2024. So we're zeroing in on paying those off, and that'll be good and nice for the water fund to have that extra money to do capital projects. If you look at line 16, I had already budgeted that we were going to have excess cash and could transfer $185,000 out towards capital projects. There's a lot of water lines that need replaced, and they're going to need that money in the water for water capital projects. The sewer fund, we increased the rates this year. And that's good. Their revenue is close to budget. Their city, the metro is very close to budget, and the city is a little bit above. It's because of the new homes. Evidently, I didn't anticipate quite enough revenue on the city side, so it's just slightly ahead of budget. The miscellaneous revenue is, again, permitting type revenue, and it's strong because of the strong permits. Line six is the refund from Metro. We got that large refund that went to Cedarbrook. However, the 6% utility charge that we had paid the general fund was receded back into the sewer fund as a one-time only refund, and that will give extra cash that the sewer fund had spent in the past that now will has recovered because of that leak refund that Metro refunded us. So the beginning cash balance on line 10, we had thought it would be $169,000, and it ended up at almost $276,000. So we were $100,000 over. That was good. The last quarter, our permits were way stronger than I had anticipated, and that helped the fund start with a strong balance. Our expenditures are pretty much on trend as the other departments. The line 17, we're at 23.1, and that's normal with the lag in vouchers. Our three-month cash balance on line 21 should be $116,000. And we have $200,000 ahead of that right now. I expect this will dip a little bit through the year end, but it's nice to not wonder how we could pay our salaries in this fund. And I think our rate increase really helped stabilize this fund. We should be transferring over to reserve. I'm going to go back up on, I didn't mention on line 7, we're still transferring $85,000 in from reserve. If we do end up with excess cash, we won't have to transfer that money out of reserve into operating. You should be doing the opposite. You should always have more money so you can fund some of your capital. So our goal is to get rid of that $85,000 transfer, and I won't make that transfer until year end and watch how the cash is going. But that would be good if we could stop that transfer in out of the reserve fund. Last fund is our stormwater fund, and that's the one we increased the rates this year. You'll see their revenue on line 2 is only at 13.7%. That's because all of the residential revenue is collected by King County with their property tax. So that will come in May and June, April, May, and June. And we'll be at least at 50% or a little above that. The inspection and revenue fees are permitting type, and that's right on budget. And then we have a grant that we haven't received yet, but we'll receive later this year. And that'll help pay some of the operating expenditures. Line 6 for interest, that's lagging a little bit, and will lag through year end, but it's a small amount. Line 9, beginning cash balance. I budgeted we'd start with 105, and we started with 222. Again, that last fourth quarter was very strong and gave us a cushion of cash to start with, and that very well can get rid of our $85,000 transfer in. So that'll be really good and the position we need to be in. The expenditure side is running pretty much similar to the other departments. Running a little bit behind, again, mainly with the voucher lag. Line 19 is the three-month operating cash balance. They should have $122,000, and they're $71,000 ahead right now. So I hope by year-end that their cash position will be such that we don't have to transfer in out of the reserves. So that's my financial report for the first quarter. And I just wanted to let you know the first quarter looks good. The next quarter will be a lot more telling because we'll have those lag quarters in there and we'll be able to see. We did send out our utility bills for May, and if we had shut off accounts, we would have had 48 accounts shut off, and people would have had to pay $10,000 to get them turned back on, those 48 accounts. So that is a concern. We don't know how many of those people are back to work and how many are still out. We haven't tried to, collect those past due amounts, but we'll be working on it in the next 2 months as the city starts opening up and as we get staff back in there and have time to work on that. We still are under the issue that we're not charging late fees. We're not charging, we're not turning off utilities. So until we get out of this situation and we stop that, it's not right to go ahead and try to collect that from the customers. So I'm pleased that there's only 48 because we have 1,000 customers. So that's still a pretty small percentage. So anybody have any questions?
Yes. Councilmember Stout.
May, on the water fund on page 4, you go just down past the expenditures, the numbering went haywire.
Okay, I will fix that when I do the final also. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
Okay, and Chris, you had a question?
What's our normal accounts in arrears percentage? What do we normally run? You said we're at 48 now. What do we
Normally? We normally have maybe 10.
Okay.
8 to 10.
Okay, so it's more than quadrupled the number.
Yes, it has, but still quite a small percentage. And why we only have 10 is because we shut their water off.
Christiana.
And they know that, so. Yes.
Christiana.
Yeah, thank you. So also in regard to the 48 people, have there been conversations or what have you already heard about repayment methods? Like if it'd be like in monthly installments or what are we thinking work and or what have residents already mentioned might, I guess,
right now we had followed Puget Sound Energy's policy, which was to wait until the governor opened up so that a citizen could come in. We don't even have our phones on at City Hall right now, other than most of us are at home. I'm at home right now. And we have one whole staff person that would be helping with this who's on furlough right now because she has children and they're not in school. So when we get our staff person back, we'll be able to get the phone calls out and start getting a policy in place. Normally we'll set up a payment plan and allow a certain amount of months for them to catch up. And then we'll be in communication, pretty close communication with those 48 folks to make sure they can make their payments. And then we also check with the other agencies out there if some of them are seriously out of work and do not have any money at all. There's some agencies out there that might be able to help them. We haven't reached out to those agencies either, and we'll be doing that as we open up more.
Council Member Wisnowski.
Did we get clarification from the county on the rate increase for sewer? Do we know if that's going to be a January thing, and or is that going to be delayed, or
have we heard anything? It's not going to be delayed. When does that happen?
It starts January 1st, and we can't even bill till February, so we have to start paying it January 1st, 2021. We, as far as I know, all cities have passed that on to their citizens. And it was forecast that it would be a 4.2%. They only raise it every other year, and they've tried to keep that down to a reasonable amount. So for 2 years, that's, 2.1% a year, basically. I think they passed it. And the city will have to pay it, whether we pass it on to our citizens or not. And right now, the sewer fund is the one where we had to increase rates just to pay the staff. So that would be a tough call for us to try to absorb.
Well, and the other thing is too, is three of the council, King County Council, voted against raising it this year. And one of them is Reagan Dunn, that's our representative, our district representative. But four of them voted to pass it anyway. And so there was a lot of controversy and everybody wrote into the council, but they passed it anyway. And I'm not really sure that maybe they have deeper pockets than some people do, but I think it's unreasonable to do it. They could have waited till next year to do it.
In the finance committee, we talked that was going to ballpark figure be like $5 or $7 a month per person, right? Is that what we said?
Their rate right now is $40-some a month. So it's not a huge amount. I didn't calculate out exactly how many dollars it is. But still, it's hard right now with everybody out of work to say you're going to have rate increases.
Yeah, it's not very empathetic type of
thing to do. Not at all. Well, thank you, May.
Thanks, May.
Okay, thank you.
So, Chief Smith, did you have a report? Chief Smith?
Is his voice blocked?
No, he's muted, but I don't, oh, there he goes. Chief Smith? We can't hear you.
Can Brenda unmute him?
I did unmute him, but he's not there, Mayor.
Yeah, he maybe not be there. So, okay, we'll just move on. I don't think we have any more department reports. So Mayor's report, I met this week with South End mayors and talked about what was going on in the cities. And it was mostly about the protests and the vandalism and how organized it was. And Renton, they went to Walmart. So the police went to Walmart and then they went someplace else. So then so the police left and then went to there and then they went back to Walmart. So it was kind of a coordinated effort to stay away from the police and go back and vandalize these stores. And today I think something was going on in Enumclaw. They had a demonstration in Enumclaw. And so there's been a lot of cities that have been affected by all of the demonstrations. And it was kind of interesting when I was at the city administrator and manager meeting yesterday that they actually, Kirkland actually boarded up all our windows before anybody ever came to town so that they couldn't break any of their windows. And so they had a really aggressive policy that board up your windows and go home. So
Auburn did too.
Yeah. So just different people doing different things. And I think we're lucky that it hasn't hit us. So time for council reports. Council member Stout.
I attended a public works committee meeting where we reviewed the transportation improvement plan. We call it the TIP, which is a 6-year plan of all the different projects that we want to do in the city. It's quite a lot of millions of dollars worth of improvements that we're hoping to do over the next 6 years. I attended the finance committee meeting where we also reviewed this very first quarter report. And thank you again, May, for all of your diligent work. And I think it's going to be trying times this year for you to manage all the bits and pieces with whatever revenue we have. But so far, so good. It seems like you're doing a really great job and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
I had some communication with Chief Kiblinger. I know she's busy. I know that this is a time where our police officers need to focus on their work, but I had some questions in regard to our police policies. And she responded to me very quickly. Thank you, Chief Kiblinger. I appreciate it so much. And I had come across an idea talking about policies that would help police departments be stable and serve the public very well. And I sent that to her, and she helped me understand that most of those policies are in place in our department, and some of them don't make sense. They're not police best practice. So that was educational for me to realize that, you know, not every little thing you see out in the community makes sense in your community, even if it looks like, oh, that's a really great idea. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't in real practice. I'm not a trained police officer, and I really trust our Black Diamond Police Department to do the right thing for our community. And so she sent me the actual, what's it called, use of force policies and procedures for the city of Black Diamond. And that was really fascinating reading to see how our police officers are trained and what their policies are and how really, truly, you know, you see the slogan serve and protect. And I really believe that that's what our police officers do. They serve us and they protect us, and they don't want to hurt anybody and they don't want to get hurt. So I appreciated that. I became aware of a disturbance related to council relations again this week. And it's frustrating. I don't like to spend time during city council meetings talking about those things. It doesn't move the work of the council forward. And I would just encourage all of us to work cooperatively with one another to not assume any negative intent. All of us who serve on the council have good intentions and want to serve the city of Black Diamond, and let's go forward and work on our finance committees and our public works committee and our community development committee and parks and our public safety committees, and get the work of the city of Black Diamond done and take care of our citizens. There were several letters from residents this week. One related to requesting some paving on their particular road, and also some concern about paving that already has been done on a road that the residents were frustrated with how that was carried out. Also, some letters about development and permitting processes that are frustrating because they take a long time to get all the bits and pieces done. I had a discussion with the mayor about all of those things, and I'm satisfied that the city is moving forward and doing what needs to be done to make all of those things happen. As far as paving particular roads that citizens are hoping to have taken care of, excuse me, I think we really should stick with our transportation improvement plan. Our public works department scours the city, and they work with the transportation improvement board to talk about which streets are eligible for projects. The city can do small projects on its own, but I think that we should stick with that plan, and do the best we can with the resources that we have throughout the city. Those are all of my comments. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you, Mayor. So I think I'll just start off by also speaking to the fact that I did attend the Public Works Committee meeting also, and discussing the six-year plan for future road projects. It's a lengthy list, but ambitious, and I'm excited to see the kind of work that will be done. It's a lot of necessary projects. There's some that I'm hoping can help to move the needle on projects that I know residents especially have been asking about and care about. So it's good to see that we're starting those projects, starting those conversations, with more to come in the future, of course. And I think otherwise, what I will do is just speak a little bit to the fact that I also had some good conversations too with our chief of police, because of recent events that have been happening. And I think I'll just start first by acknowledging the real tragedy that's brought us to be speaking about this to begin with. I think it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that not everybody is able to get the same equal opportunities that should be happening. And that includes that a lot of things even regarding relations with police around the country. With that said, I really value the work that our police department's doing. We aren't Minneapolis, we aren't Seattle. A lot of people in our community speak very highly of the good relations that our police department has. And for me, my work that I am committed to, and this isn't the only part of it, but part of the work I'm committed to in this is the fact that we do have those good relations. And as our city grows and as it changes, and we will expect to also expect more an increase in diversity, that we continue to have those good relations. So I'm very glad that we're able to have a talk with a chief who I think is really open to the public, really open to having those conversations. And that is something that I think is gonna help make a big difference in the years to come for our city. That said, I think that's gonna be at least a good place to leave off for right now. But I do also sympathize with the fact that, and it pains me to just know that there's this tragedy has awoken a lot of people up to the fact that there's just this huge disparity. And I will speak a little bit to Enum Claw that was mentioned. That was actually something started by a seventh grader. And it was a peaceful sign waving event, but I think it goes to show that more and more people in the community are recognizing the fact that in order to make sure that all lives matter, that we do have to address that Black lives matter too. So with that said though, I appreciate the work that we're doing with our police chief, and I look forward to an ongoing conversation that helps to really improve those communications and helps to make sure that our community continues to have the good relations and enjoy the relations that we're having with our police department. So that will for now be the end of my council report.
Council Member Nelson.
Hey, I was in the safety committee meeting today. That was enlightening on some things that are going on with the cities and with the fire department. I have spent some time with talking to Chief Kiplinger. I've spent time talking to some local residents. The biggest thing right now is just, we have an amazing city. This is just, I love our city. I really want and ask that every council member write Chris a letter. Losing Zaber is my kid cried. So he was a Black Diamond hero. And we have one thing I like about working for the Black Diamond City Council, I work for the city of Black Diamond, which is the best city I've ever lived in. And I think that when something like that happens to one of our own, we really need to rally around them and just know that the city leaders are 1,000,000% behind him and the rest of the officers, because I guarantee hit all of them. Saber did a lot for the city. I also think that watching the police drive around, they're driving extra slow, being extra vigilant. I was very encouraged when you see an officer just stop and talk to kids walking by. I think it was, I don't even know who the officer was. I saw the back of the car. They stopped and they were talking to the kids playing on the street, and the kids were laughing and having a good time. And that's why I live in Black Diamond. We have the best police. I was talking about Kevin, I'm the broken record, but I just am not worried about council reports. I just want all the council members to just get together and just make sure we love on Chris through this time, because it's going to be a hard time for the whole police department, but just love on Kevin especially, and that's all I got. I said Kevin, I meant Chris, sorry.
Councilmember Page?
Yes, so I have a very short report because I could probably just say that my comments mirror the comments of the rest of the council member, with the exception I might be the only council member that didn't talk to the police chief this week, so wasn't avoiding her, but anyways, I do agree with everybody that spoke about our police department, and I do agree with the comments about the surge in support that we have for, you know, civil rights. And I think we all support that. So hopefully out of some huge tragedies that have occurred, it might move our society in the right direction. But I would also say, you know, again, we have to look at the actions of individuals as actions of individuals and not stereotype against all police officers. I'm very supportive of our department, and I know that there are a lot of other hardworking, honorable men and women who work at other departments as well. So I just want to say that. And that's not to dilute the strength of the message of the protests. It's just simply, you know, a balanced approach. So with that, I know that there was, I did miss the last council meeting, and I know that there was some citizen comments about the 312th project, and you know, I guess in some ways, you know, that's a sounds like a long going issue, and I think that you know, in the future, maybe we can table those as a council and talk that through a little bit more, because I didn't feel like I had enough time to really address, you know, that matter with the council. And that was partly because I wasn't able to attend the last council meeting. So I'm sorry about missing the last council meeting and being able to participate in that. So I think that's my only comments.
Councilmember Deedy.
Wow. So listening to everybody, your brain kind of goes a million miles an hour trying to think of everything to say. Okay, so I attended the Public Works meeting where we did discuss the CIP, the Capital Improvement Plan, which is a 6-year plan. And just like we discussed there, that even though projects are on there for, you know, some are on there sometimes 12 years, you know, they just, they move, you know, some will say it's 6 years out, but they actually may get done in a year. So it's just whatever grants we can get and the funding. And then some projects get moved up rather quickly. One of the things that we did put on the CIP, if you notice, was sidewalks.
TIP.
That's right, TIP. Was the sidewalks on 288. So, you know, I wanted that on there. And, you know, hopefully one day we'll get that going. It might not be, you know, tomorrow or in 4 years, but at least it's on there. And it can keep getting discussed about in committee meetings. Community development, I attended that meeting as well. So I just had a couple of things to talk about. So off of 312, I did have a couple of hour conversation with Sheila Hofig, which is who the letter was from, and Brian and Sheila Hofig, Brenton, Sherry Miller, and I think Adam and Jenna Jennings. They wrote that letter for us, or email, talking about 312th, and the gist of that letter isn't so much about having a handicapped parking spot down there. It's about enforcement of parking on there. And when I talked to Officer Henrich, he stated that the signs say no parking. So if they're right by the sign and they park there, then they got a ticket. But if they're in between, they didn't get a ticket. So it was really hard to figure out, you know, ticketing and not ticketing. So when I was in Snoqualmie, I noticed that in their area, they have quite a few signs on streets that say no parking on this side. So maybe we could just get a couple of signs or something that say just, you know, no parking on this side of the road and no parking on this side, because there is no parking allowed on 312 at all, except for our handicap spot. So I'm sure in the safety committee meeting and the public works committee meeting, together we'll all figure it out and get it so that police can enforce it and citizens along 312 can see that that is working and that we're not ignoring them, that we are trying our best to get that solved. I also spoke with Chief Kiblinger, and one of the things we did discuss about was repurchasing riot gear, which, you know, we may never use. We purchased it over 10 years ago or 10 years ago, and it's time to upgrade it and get new. So I'm sure that will be coming from our police department and looking for grants and what have you to get that purchased. Let's see. So last council meeting, we were supposed to have an executive session and we decided not to have it, but to have everybody call in and talk to David about that executive session instead of having it where we go into another place on Zoom. So I did call David. I'm hoping that all of you did the same and were understanding of what the circumstances were and were able to clarify that with David. So I hope everybody called him, and if have not, please do so. And then as far as what's happening, I'm with everybody else. You know, my heart goes out to George Floyd and his family, to his family and his friends, for the senseless, I say, murder of him. So I'm fully supportive of the people out protesting. Obviously, I'm not supportive of looting and damaging personal business property or anything. So, but most definitely supportive of people getting out and talking and trying to figure out how to solve this huge discrepancy or issue within that we have. So with that, I think other than the garage sale, that's moving right along. So we're still at this point having the community-wide garage sale, which is the second weekend in August. The community center is also holding their garage sale at that time. So we're moving forward. So hopefully by then we will have some new levels that we move into. So with that, my report is done.
Councilmember Oglesby.
I'll figure this out one of these days. Thank you, Mayor. Council report. Well, let's see. I attended the safety meeting today with the two other council members. No report from the court. They were actually in court in Buckley today. We did talk about the riot gear. Also, Tammy, you spoke of. It looks like there is a quote out there how much it would cost to get riot gear again back into our community and our police force. With that, there would be additional training with all our officers to get trained for riot training, is what the chief told us. And she can correct me if she would like to, if I said that wrong. I see that she's online. Also, we did discuss about fees for false calls and alarms, which means businesses, homes, new homes in 10 trails that have house alarms, business alarms to alert them that somebody's broken in or something like that. A lot of times they'll get false calls. So we discussed about how that would look, and it was brought to our attention that it is in our fee schedule that already we are collecting it, but we need to maybe look forward with the council and maybe with Dave and other in May about an ordinance to put this in place. She gave us some quotes about how much it would cost. It seems very reasonable. How this would benefit the citizens and the businesses, And how it would benefit the police. We could go into more detail, and I'm sure Chief Kimmelder can tell us more about that and how it would work. But it looks like to me out of that discussion that we need to work on an ordinance to complete this, because we already have the fees in our fee schedule. Another thing we talked about was the process of, well, never mind. I'm not going to go into that right now. I did speak to in the fire department area. We did talk about, it looks like Chief Smith said that the new pizza place where the Italian, what was that? The new, what is the pizza place there on the corner? Help me out, somebody. I'm having
Mike's Deli.
Thank you. Pizza and Deli.
Yes. So they're getting past suspension. Okay, let's start over, people. I need sleep. Anyway, they're getting their inspections passed, so they should be looking forward to opening up soon for all the residents to enjoy. So I'm very excited to hear our new businesses are coming into town and still working through our permit and be able to open up soon. I did speak to some of the residents that did emails as well. I did call Jason Anderson, who is one of the contractors that is communicated with our city and Barb regarding that $13 million profit possible commercial building coming in. So I am interested in speaking to our Barb and our city and how we can help these commercial buildings that come in and how our permitting is going. So it's a better communication within the city and these people, because we do need revenue. We do need these companies to come in. They do bring a lot of revenue in. He did speak very clearly about how frustrated it was and the steps he was taking. And Barb did email him back. So I'm very happy that the communication between those two did come through, but it was a good conversation to have with him. He was very pleased that a council member did call him and talk to him. And I think as well as any council member calling back anybody that emails us, this is a very great idea. Other than that, it's been a long and emotional time, and I just want to say, keep loving your neighbors, keep loving your police, keep loving your businesses, love each other. It's just heartbreaking, and it's hard to digest, and it's hard to mentally understand what's going on. I think we're all just dealing with this crazy world right now, and it's just new to us. And all I can say, the better we can love each other and care and listen, hopefully the better the world will be. And that's my report.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Well, going last is always tough because everybody's already said everything, right? I attended the finance committee meeting last week. Thank you again, May, for going through that. And as always, thank you for making it all make sense to us. You do a great job of that, and we really appreciate it. I also attended the public safety committee meeting today, where we got to speak both with Chief Kiblinger and Chief Smith. They announced the retirement of Chief Barlow. So we'll be, hopefully once everything gets back to somewhere near normal, we can have a celebration for his years of dedication to the department. Let's see, what else? We talked about the riot gear. We talked about the training. I think we've talked about 312. I think we've talked about, communicating with our businesses better as we go through the process. I think right now it's really tough because it's not normal, right? The processes aren't normal. So, one thing I want to thank our staff who's working really hard through all this tough time, right? It's tough for everybody out there. It's not just, big cities that are having a tough time, even Little Black Diamond. All of this change and non-normalcy makes it very tough to keep momentum going and to really get deep into stuff, right? And right now there's a lot of emotions going on. I know, I've got two small kids that I have to explain some of the things they see on TV to. And it's really tough because there was a tragedy, a tragic death, right? And we need to fix this. We need And it's not going to be an overnight fix, right? It's going to be something we have to slowly move forward in our society. And as people, hate is a taught thing, right? It's kids don't know it, right? Kids, little kids, they don't know it. How does it get to an adult? That's the scary thought, right? So hopefully we can make strides in that moving forward, right? And it saddens me to see the looters and rioters take away from that message, right? Because there's definitely two different parties here, right? The protesters have a legitimate protest to have. They're usually very peaceful. You could even see it in Seattle, right? In Seattle, there was two definite different groups. There was a protest group. They went from the park downtown to the federal building. They marched peacefully, exactly how peaceful protest is supposed to work, right? And a whole separate group comes out and starts, you know, breaking up windows, looting Nordstrom, stuff like that. And it's sad because it takes away, it overshadows the true message and the pain that people are feeling in the African-American community. I've talked to some of my friends that I've had since we were little kids. We grew up together, right? And it's really tough because they go through things that, you know, me didn't go through growing up, right? They have, you know, once you get out of the little kid stage, right, they have a much tougher life that we try to be empathetic to, but we can't really understand it because we don't experience it. The best we can do is listen and love our neighbors and love our police department and try to work together, right? And that's one of the things we need to do. We need to focus on working together and stop some of this partisan crap that goes on even in our small town of Black Diamond, and focus on what we can do for our city and what we can do for our citizens and how we can make our world a better place and our city of Black Diamond a better home for everybody. And if we can do that, even little steps are steps forward. So hug your kids tonight, hug your neighbors, have a great day.
Do we have an attorney's report?
Just briefly, to the council, I know I want to just briefly visit a topic that I know is near and dear to some of your hearts, which is the school impact fees. Because the governor's latest proclamation has relaxed the restrictions on necessary and routine council items while we're going through these remote video meetings, I think we have the flexibility and the freedom to bring that right back to the council and get that ready to go. So that will entail, as I mentioned before, Planning Commission having the first kind of run at stuff. But Barb Kincaid and I are working to put together a schedule to line up all the necessary steps with the Planning Commission and maybe a work study for you guys and a council meeting. And let's hopefully get this knocked out this summer so that we can get it done. And other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Deedy?
One thing I didn't mention, and I saw that Chief Smith did a little chat down there. So if you're listening to the audio later on, Chief Smith has no microphone at the fire station that he is at. So he is watching and listening, but he just can't speak to us. And then also just quickly, my deepest condolences to Officer Chatterson for the loss of Sabra, who is our retired canine dog. Everybody loves Sabra. Everybody is heartbroken. So again, my deepest condolences to Officer Chatterson.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yes, one more thing I forgot to mention, and I just, for the people and residents that have children in the Enumclaw School District and our council, the Enumclaw School District, it does have 4 candidates for the new superintendents, and their resumes are online, and they are looking for feedback and input from the community and residents and parents that have children in Enumclaw School District. So I just want to encourage everybody to go on there, read the resumes, give some feedback to them. And to the council members to follow up again back to our welcoming and inclusive proclamation that we were talking about earlier and wanting to have a work study. I have been talking to Tina and Mike Nelson. We've been looking at a few options. He did send me over one that the Enumclaw Council did approve just recently. And I will be happy to forward that to you, Council, also to review and look at. And it just as more information for all of us to look at and maybe kind of, again, move forward with our proclamation as well and get some feedback on it. I just wanted to share those two pieces real quick. Thank you.
Okay, so we don't have an executive session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.